Today's presentation is on recreational water and blue-green algae testing given by the Vermont Department of Health. I'm Lillian Colasurdo, as I said. I'm the one that has been emailing you on the listserv to set up the trainings. And our training today is going to be given by Andy Chevrefils. And he works here in the Environmental Health Division at the Department of Health. He's our Environmental Health Risk Coordinator, and he's involved in a lot of emergency preparedness work for environmental health and also heavily involved in our healthy recreational water program and blue-green algae testing program. So we sent the slides around yesterday. Hopefully everybody either has access to them in front of them on a computer or in a printed format. The way we'll go through this is Andy will present. We're going to start on the title slide. You will hear a chime sound that sounds like this. And that's how you know to go ahead. That's how you know to go ahead and change to the next slide. So if you're flipping through papers, just flip the page. If you're on a computer, just hit the next arrow key and you'll be able to move forward. And we'll try and periodically check in to make sure people are on the same slides. The presentation will be approximately 15 to 20 minutes, and then we'll save the rest of the time for questions from folks at the end, if you have any. So we'll go ahead and get started, and I'll turn this over to Andy.
Okay, good afternoon, and thank you for calling in today to learn more about healthy recreational waters and blue-green algae. Today we will concentrate on the resources and tools that are available to town health officers when working on issues related to recreational water in your jurisdiction. Our focus today will be on three documents that you may or may not be familiar with. The first of these documents is the Vermont Town Health Officer Manual. You should be fairly familiar with this document, but we have made a few updates related to recreational water that you will want to pay attention to. The second document that we will discuss today is the Vermont Department of Health's Healthy Recreational Waters Program. This document was first introduced in May of this year. We will discuss what this document has to offer. The last resource we will review today is the Blue-Green Algae Community Guidance Document. This was developed to give communities a reference and strategy guide to use when presence of blue-green algae become a problem in local ponds and lakes. The Vermont Town Health Officer Manual, Chapter 9, covers three general areas related to recreational water. These are E. coli bacteria monitoring, blue-green algae or cyanobacteria monitoring, and general beach health and safety. Now we will discuss E. coli monitoring and how a town health officer may be involved in this activity. E. coli bacteria monitoring is the most used measure of freshwater beach quality for human health. Through research, the Environmental Protection Agency has determined that E. coli concentrations correlate best with gastrointestinal illness in fresh water. The type of E. coli monitored is not necessarily causing the gastrointestinal illness, but is used as a surrogate to identify recent fecal contamination of water. High levels of E. coli can indicate the presence of other disease-causing bacteria, viruses, and parasites. There are many sources of bacterial contamination of lakes, ponds, and rivers. We can group these into three categories: human sewage, human swimmer to swimmer, and animals, pets, agriculture, and wildlife. Examples of sewage contamination are failing septic systems leaking into a water body, boat and recreational vehicle holding tank leaks, damaged sewer lines, and illegal dumping of sewage from a watercraft. Swimmer-to-swimmer contamination is the most common cause of fecal contamination and illness at swimming areas. Examples of this are persons with diarrhea or babies wearing diapers entering swimming areas. Fecal contamination may also be caused by animal feces washed into or directly deposited into the water. It is important to note that it is difficult to tell the difference between the potential health risks that can be caused by human feces and the feces of other warm-blooded animals. In December, the Vermont Department of Health has recently updated its recommended guidance for recreational water suitability. This update is based on a scientific review of 20 years of data conducted by the EPA and presented in 2011. The Vermont Department of Health recommends that E. coli bacteria density should not exceed 235 colony-forming units per 100 milliliters of water. Most frequently reported recreational water health effects is gastrointestinal illness, second by skin irritation or dermatitis. These health effects are caused by a variety of parasites, bacteria, and viruses. Populations that are most susceptible to gastrointestinal illness are children, immunocompromised people, and pregnant women. Children are especially prone due to accidental ingestion of water while swimming. The role of the town health officer will vary from town to town. A town health officer may be responsible for conducting an E. coli monitoring program for local swimming areas. This may also be completed by a town recreation department or other entity. If there is an exceedance of the recreational water recommendation for E. coli, then the town health officer may be called to close a swimming area. A town health officer may also be asked to participate in an investigation of contaminated sources. Town health officers may also be asked to inspect a swimming area to determine if there are any other hazards, such as a chemical spill or a physical hazard. The Vermont Department of Health Public Health Laboratory offers E. coli sampling kits to the public for $15 per sample. The kits include detailed instructions on how to take a sample and how and when to submit the sample back to the lab. Samples must be returned to the lab no later than 30 hours after the sample was taken, or the sample will be rejected. Samples must be received by the lab no later than 4 p.m. on regular business days. Test kits for E. coli are also available through private laboratories. There is a listing of these laboratories available on the Vermont Department of Health website. Next, we will review the basics of an E. coli monitoring program. Sampling should be done once a week during the swimming season. If exceedances occur, additional sampling will be necessary to reopen the swimming area. Collect samples at locations and times of greatest bather use. At beaches greater than 300 feet long, more than one sample is recommended to obtain representative data. Alternate sampling sites may be considered based on geographical features of the beach, potential contamination sources, and other bather use patterns. Additional information on E. coli monitoring programs is described in the Vermont Department of Health's Healthy Recreational Waters document. The Healthy Recreational Waters concept has been around the Health Department for some time now. This year we have developed a document that highlights this holistic approach to providing guidance and outreach. While producing this guidance, we had several objectives that we wanted to accomplish. These are to provide swimming area managers a framework for monitoring water quality and a protocol for addressing incidences of contamination from a variety of sources, to provide Vermonters with easy-to-understand guidance on safe and healthy recreational waters, strengthen partnerships among federal, state, and local, as well as private stakeholders, to contribute to the overall quality, safety, and preservation of Vermont's recreational waters. An example of one of the tools provided in the Healthy Recreational Waters document is the sanitary survey. The sanitary survey can be used in several ways. It can be used to provide baseline information regarding a swimming area at the beginning of a swimming season. It can also be used to track conditions of swimming areas throughout the swimming season by conducting the survey on a routine basis. It can also be used to assist in an investigation of contamination of swimming water. The survey collects information on general weather, water temperature, visual water quality, bather load, and activity usages, discharge sources, waste, algae, and wildlife. There is a guide within the recreational waters, Healthy Recreational Waters document to assist in completing the sanitary survey form if needed. The Healthy Recreational Waters document includes other helpful tools, such as signage, that we will review later in this presentation. Cyanobacteria, or commonly known as blue-green algae, has become an annual struggle for communities along the shores of Lake Champlain, as well as some of the inland bodies of water in Vermont. To help assist these communities, we have developed the Blue-Green Algae Community Guidance Document. We will next review this document and discuss how the town health officer can get involved in blue-green algae occurrences. The Vermont Department of Health and the Vermont Department of Environmental Conservation have developed this document as a reference guide for communities whose lakes and ponds are impacted by cyanobacterial blooms. This document will provide tools for identification of blooms, is a reference on the nature of cyanobacteria, provides tools to determine public health risk from blooms, and provides guidance for determining use restrictions of water for recreation as well as for drinking water. In ideal conditions, cyanobacteria are common and natural aquatic organisms present in many surface waters. Cyanobacteria are single-celled microscopic bacteria and can be found in fresh, salt, or brackish waters. In ideal conditions, cyanobacteria can multiply rapidly, creating visible floating colonies, often referred as a bloom or a scum. Cyanobacteria blooms are not always blue-green. They can be other colors such as blue, bright green, brown, or red. Blooms or scums may appear like pea soup or spilled paint in the water. Health concerns of blue-green algae is mainly due to the toxins that they produce. People may get rashes or skin irritations from coming into contact with blooms. Inhalation of water droplets that have toxins in them may cause allergic-like reactions, runny noses, or sore throats. Swallowing water that has high levels of cyanobacterial toxins in it can cause diarrhea and vomiting. Liver or kidney damage may occur in people or animals and may take several days to show symptoms. Research has been conducted and continues to be conducted to see if there is a link with Lou Gehrig's disease or ALS and blue-green algae toxins. As this research continues, the Vermont Department of Health is continually monitoring the progress. There are no known human deaths related to cyanobacterial blooms, but there are several dog deaths that have been attributed to cyanobacteria toxins. People can be exposed in two general ways. First is through recreational activities where blooms have been present or blooms have recently died. Can expose swimmers to toxins through skin contact, inhalation of water droplets, or ingestion of water, as well as drinking water, household water supplies that are pumped from waters with cyanobacteria. Blooms may have exposures through drinking, bathing, or other activities. One of the most useful sections of the Blue-Green Algae Community Guidance document are the monitoring and identification tools. The document provides a three-category system to assess current water conditions for blue-green algae. Category 1 includes situations where none or few cyanobacteria are present in the water. The image on the left depicts generally clear water conditions, and the picture on the right shows that there are no visible scums at the surface of the water. Category 2 is used to describe conditions where there may be small amounts of visible cyanobacteria present on the surface of the water. Category 2 waters are generally safe to swim in, but caution should be provided since condition may change rapidly. Monitoring Category 3 represents situations where visible scums or blooms have formed. As you can see in these pictures, the spilled paint and pea soup appearance are evident. These areas should not be considered safe to swim in. In certain situations, the town health officers could be asked to perform a variety of tasks associated with a blue-green algae event. You may be asked to investigate complaints from citizens regarding algae at public swimming areas. If necessary, you may be asked to take a sample for toxin analysis with a Vermont Department of Health laboratory test kit. These test kits would be made available to town health officers at the Vermont Department of Health district offices or at the Vermont Department of Health laboratory. Instructions for sampling are included in the test kits, which also contain special containers and disposable gloves. In the event of a bloom, you may need to post alert or closure signs at public swimming areas. Closing and opening procedures are outlined in the Town Health Officer Manual, as well as the Community Guidance Document. Now I will review several of the resources available in the Healthy Recreational Water Document, as well as the Blue-Green Algae Community Guidance Document. First is the sanitary survey form that I have previously described. This form has many uses, but you may find it is very helpful in early stages of an investigation of contamination of a swimming area. The form is broken down into four sections: general beach conditions, water quality, bather load, and potential pollution sources. The recreational water sample data form is a simplified version of the sanitary survey form that is intended to be used when an E. coli bacteria sample is collected. The information collected on this form can be used to refer to conditions at time of sample and can be used as a method of tracking trends in water quality throughout the swimming season or year to year. This is a sign included in the Healthy Recreational Water document that can be posted to inform bathers that a particular swimming area is monitored, and currently safe for swimming. It can be customized to provide information about the swimming area and to whom to contact for more information. This is a sign included in the Healthy Recreational Water document that can be posted to make bathers aware that the swimming area is routinely monitored, but recent rainfall may cause bacteria levels to be elevated for a 24-hour period after the rain event. This is a sign included in the Healthy Recreational Water document to be used to inform bathers that bacteria levels in water are high and people should not go swimming. These are two signs that are part of the Blue-Green Algae Community Guidance Document. The sign on the left is to be used to alert public that blue-green algae may be present and to be on the lookout. The sign on the right is to be used to close a swimming area due to blue-green algae blooms at a swimming area. This is the Blue-Green Algae Monitoring Sheet. This could be used to document bloom activity or to be used as a routine monitoring tool. The sheet asks for information about current conditions such as bloom activity, bather load, and general meteorological observations. This form is available in the blue-green algae community guidance document. These are two fact sheets on healthy recreational water and swim water testing. These are part of the Healthy Recreational Waters Program document and are available at healthvermont.gov. These can be distributed to people in your community if they have questions on recreational water. This is the end of our presentation. I would like to thank you for listening in today and wish you a very happy summer. We would like to open the line up for questions at this time. Thank you.
So do folks have any questions? And if you do, remember to take your phone off of mute at this point so we can hear you.
I have a question.
Okay. Go ahead.
One of the issues, when I sample my town beach and send the and mail the sample to the health lab, sometimes I don't get the results back for a week. So I put on the form that I'd like to be emailed the results so that I can put up signs at the town beach, but the health lab doesn't do that. I mail the sample to them, and sometimes 7 days later, I get a paper result. And last summer, I mailed the sample in on Monday, and on the following Monday, I got a high E. coli reading. So for 7 days, people swam on my town beach with a high E. coli.
Do you have a fax machine available?
No.
Town fax machine. They can do it to the town.
Is there
a
fax machine available at the town clerk's office?
Yes.
I would put that number down and try to coordinate with the town office that you'll be asking for faxes sent to them for you to receive. And if you request that the results be faxed to you, they should do that.
What's wrong with email?
I know that the laboratory, we work with the laboratory, they're a separate division. I know that they're going through a new database system right now. It is odd that they only sent you in the mail a result that was above the recommended guidance level. Hopefully, in those cases, they would call. It's important to make sure you do have your contact, your phone number as well, on the submittal forms.
So we can look into this on our end too, to communicate with our laboratory to see if there's a way to expedite this, but I think Andy's point is probably the best one, that the more modes of communication you can fill out on the form, the better a chance that you're going to hear from the lab sooner. So if you can have your phone number, the town fax number, the email address, and then the mailing address, and we can follow up and talk to the lab and see if there's a way for them to get, it, at a minimum, high results to people soon.
What is your name, sir, and what town are you from?
My name is Robert Peisch, and I'm from Ferrisburg.
Okay, great.
I got another question.
Yep.
Can I ask another question? Is the recreational water sample kit the same one that the blue-green algae is done, or is it a different kit?
Those are two separate kits. The E. coli recreational water kit, the kit, that's kit SW. It's different from the blue-green algae toxin kits.
Okay, and they're both $15?
The E. coli kit, this SW kit, is $15. The blue-green algae kits, the health department would work with the town health officer to get the kit to you free of charge.
Okay.
Only as a public health response, not as a routine monitoring tool.
Okay. I did have a bloom July 3rd, and I did close my beach on July 3rd, but it dissipated, and I'm right south of Button Bay, and they had a bloom too, but I wasn't sure how to. It was kind of last year. It was kind of I had to buy the kits myself and then get reimbursed from the town, and it was clumsy.
It was for blue green algae response.
No, just for E. coli.
Okay,
the
E. coli kits.
Sometimes the town clerks, excuse me, can order them so that they have them on hand for you.
Both E. coli and blue green.
No, the blue green algae kits are only distributed free of charge for a public health response.
I have to have a blue green algae incident. I call the health department. They send me the kit.
We have kits that we've distributed to all the district offices, so that we can get them out to the town health officers in a timely manner.
So okay. Do you have a district office in Middlebury?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
And then what Marielle was pointing out is that some towns have had a lot of success with having their town clerks set up either an account with our laboratory, our public health laboratory, or having the clerks do the ordering for test kits, for anything that the town would be billed for directly, because we've heard from more than just you that the reimbursement process can be a little clumsy to get through in town. So if you can avoid having to purchase the kit yourself and having the town reimburse you, I think that's it's going to make your life a little easier. So having the clerk have the town purchase, maybe keeping a recreational water sampling kit in the office that the town has purchased, so if you needed to go out in an emergency to test for E. coli, you could, and you wouldn't have to worry about buying the kit and getting reimbursed later.
Okay.
Hi, this is Maura Cook, and I'm district director for the health department office in Middlebury. Let me give you my phone number.
Okay.
388-4644 if you need a kit. And Kingsland Bay State Park recently utilized one of our kits, too, for their beach.
That's right. I guess Button Bay has a pool and Kingsland Bay has lake swimming. Okay, I'm clear on that. And what was your name again, please?
Maura, M-O-I-R-A.
Yeah.
It is Cook, C-O-O-K.
And give me your phone number one more time, please. I didn't get it the first time.
Sure, it's 388-4644.
All right.
All right.
I've been educated. I've been properly brought up to speed.
Great. Are there any other questions from folks? All right, hearing none, I think that concludes our recreational water and blue green algae training. Thank you all for participating. And the podcast and the slides are already posted on our website, but the podcast will be posted probably by the end of this week.
And all of the materials presented to you today are also available on the Vermont Department of Health website.
And that's healthyvermont.gov.
Healthvermont.gov.
I apologize. All right. Thank you all. Have a great day.
Thank you.